Greetings, I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Kevin Quinn, who's Director of Planning and Programming for the Maryland Transit Administration. And Kevin's here today to talk to us about Baltimore Link and efforts by the MTA to make public transportation better in Baltimore. So, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I know you're busy, and especially with this plan being developed and implemented. So thank you for coming. First of all, for those of our listeners who are, who are unfamiliar, and they should not be unfamiliar with the MTA, could you please tell us about the MTA?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, the MTA is we're the Maryland Transit Administration, and we're the public transportation provider for the Baltimore region. We provide service through six modes, the biggest one being our bus service, our local bus service, which a lot of folks use. We also have our Metro subway, our light rail, our MARC commuter rail service. And we also provide commuter bus service and mobility service as well.
Uh-huh. And I know that Baltimore is one of the bigger systems in the country. Huh?
It is. I think we're around the 20th in population, but we have about the 12th biggest transit system.
Yeah, which speaks to the importance of it for the region.
It sure is. People use it every day. People really rely on MTA transit to get around, to get to where they need to go, whether it's grocery stores, hospitals, doctor's appointments, their jobs, every day, all hours of the day, all the time. People are using transit in Baltimore.
That's great. How can somebody find more information about the MTA?
Best place to check us out is our website, mta.maryland.gov. A lot of good information on that website. You can find things from, you know, bus schedules to the latest announcements, changes that we're making to our service, things like that.
Great. And as Director of Planning and Programming, your job is to make sure that everything works right.
Yeah, we really take kind of a short and a long-term evaluation of the system. So we're always looking at, you know, bus facilities, rail facilities, you know, what kind of, you know, looking out way into the future, you know, how big do our, you know, bus facilities need to be? Where are we going to have bus service going? And so we take really the long view of transit in Baltimore and how to make it as good as it can be.
So when people complain about things, it's basically your job to try to make sure they work a little better to address some of those complaints.
Certainly, yeah. And public feedback is a really key component to our planning process. And this Baltimore Link project, our big bus network redesign project, is really in response to some of the poor bus service that we've provided over the years. We could always be a little more reliable.
Yeah. And your presence on the show is an effort to get folks to give you feedback.
Yeah, certainly. We want to get as much feedback as we can. We've gone out for a couple of rounds of public feedback at this point, mm-hmm. and gotten a couple thousand comments, held really several hundred meetings with communities and had workshops and met with stakeholders and elected officials, transit advocates, you name it. We've tried to meet with them. And so it's getting those comments from, you know, communities about how this transit plan is going to affect them and affect their community, affect their daily commute. They want to be sure that, you know, it's getting better. We want to be sure it's getting better, too.
Yeah, yeah. How did the whole Baltimore Link project get started?
Yeah, great question. Back in 2013, we had something called the Bus Network Improvement Project, which really was a data-driven approach to how to improve our bus system, you know, where mm-hmm. routes need to go. And so as we really took that data and, you know, from that, in essence, was birthed Baltimore Link. And so Baltimore Link really takes this very fundamental restructuring of the transit system. So, you know, we've got a lot of really fundamental problems. One big issue we have is congestion downtown. Mm. So, you know, our buses, you know, hit downtown, and they really hit these four main streets, Pratt, Lombard, Baltimore, and Fayette streets. And they really get jammed in downtown. I like to use this analogy of kind of an hourglass on its side, where, you know, we take all these buses from, you know, the east side of Baltimore, and we, you know, jam them into these four streets downtown, and they just get slogged down in the traffic with everyone else. Yeah. And then we spit them out on the other side. And when they spit out, they're 15 minutes late. And then we say, let's do that again. So we turn them around and we send them right back through that small part of the hourglass on those four downtown streets. And they spit out and they're 30 minutes late and then 40 minutes late. Next thing you know, the bus has looped itself. It's late. Everyone's angry and upset. And so Baltimore Link really changes the way that we access downtown, both north, south, and east, west, so that, you know, we enter and exit downtown in different places. And we don't concentrate all of our buses on those four streets. Baltimore Street alone has 16 routes today and over 800 buses a day. 800 buses a day just on Baltimore Street.
On excuse me, probably one of the most congested cities in the this part of Maryland.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, part of Baltimore Link is restructuring how we access downtown. And another piece of it is also we have very, very long routes. We have routes that go, you know, from, you know, Security Square Mall all the way out to, say, East Point Mall on the east side. They're just far too long. And if you think about it, really, the longer the route, the higher the probability it's going to run into something. It's going to get in a traffic jam. It's going to get jammed up. And you get these kind of ripple effects throughout the system. And so part of Baltimore Link is shortening a lot of these routes. And so some of these very long east-west or north-south routes, we kind of chop them in half because very few people are going from all the way on the east side to all the way on the west side.
I was going to say there might be two or three a day.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. So, you know, we want to improve reliability. We want our system to be more manageable. And we've got to change the structure of it if we want it to be more reliable. And that's a big piece of it. Our current structure just doesn't allow us to be as reliable as we could be.
Yeah. That's a tough number. As I told you before, I used to live and work in Boston.
Yeah.
And Boston, to some extent, has the same kind of problem because everybody wants to get into a very narrow downtown.
Yeah.
And that's kind of their hourglass, which is a great image of this. The dilemma is, of course, that there's a reason why people want to get to that area.
Yep.
Well, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's a healthy balance. You know, there's a really healthy balance. And so, you know, jamming all of our buses on four downtown streets primarily is probably not a great approach.
Yeah.
And so we can spread that around a little bit. So that's one piece of it. Another really exciting part of Baltimore Link, though, are some of the capital investments that we're making. And so folks have already started seeing on Pratt and Lombard streets bright red dedicated lanes that have gone down on Pratt and Lombard streets that are exclusively for buses. They're bus-only lanes. And so, you know, in working with Baltimore City, we've gotten those down. Enforcement is starting, is beginning, and that's another great way to get buses through that congestion. So, you know, I hear your point. A lot of folks are working downtown. There's a reason that they're going on those four streets, but we don't need to send as many. And the ones that we do send, we can get through much more efficiently by building the right kind of infrastructure that supports our transit system.
And it does have a future. I mean, that's one of the dilemmas with public transit systems, that we're seeing other cities across the world having to retrofit their cities because they need a public transit system that they haven't done.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of cities, you know, and we've taken a look at some case studies like Houston, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, some others that have recently done some very similar kind of bus network redesigns. You know, one thing that they've also really focused on is that this idea that not all roads need to lead to Rome, you know, not everything needs to go downtown anymore.
Right.
And so, you know, we have a region that has changed dramatically in the last 50, 60, 70 years. And now, you know, we have other areas in the region that rival our downtown in density of jobs and of people. So you start thinking about places like White Marsh and Towson and Owings Mills and the, you know, kind of BWI region. And, you know, you think about Fort Meade. I mean, these places weren't, you know, what they are today. They weren't that, you know, 50 years ago. And so, you know, a lot of this effort is also to realign our systems with the job patterns and the travel patterns that people are taking today. And so to that end, you know, just a couple months ago, we rolled out some brand new, really exciting connections that connect, you know, routes that directly connect White Marsh to Towson, Towson to Owings Mills, the Old Court Metro Station down to BWI, essentially creating kind of a beltway of transit around mm-hmm. our region. Not all jobs are downtown anymore, and we've got to have a transit system that really reflects where the jobs are today.
The reality rather than what it was 20 years ago.
That's exactly right.
Or what it was accidentally with the development of the of a system.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, indeed.
And I'll just add that, you know, on top of that, you know, we had a bus system that we then have since built a metro subway line that, you know, we have that goes from Owings Mills down to Johns Hopkins in East Baltimore. And we also have a light rail line that we've since built. And we've never really realigned our bus system to reflect these two rail modes that we do have. You know, we don't have a ton of rail infrastructure, but what we do have, let's maximize it. Let's connect it. Let's connect it. Let's have time transfers. Let's be sure we're feeding people into stations to use this infrastructure when they can. And so, you know, again, with realigning, you know, to you know, where these jobs are today and making these better kind of multimodal connections, we think this bus network redesign is really going to connect better people to where they want to go.
And help more folks get...
Yeah. So
lower the number of complaints.
Sure, yes, yeah, certainly,
know,
yeah.
Because when somebody's late, as I know, because I took the bus for years, if the bus is late and you're late for work, you're mad.
Yeah.
It affects you, but at the same time, there are a lot of other folks that are being affected by things too and that are getting there perhaps better because of the change.
That's right. Yeah, there are a lot of people that are going to benefit from this, and reliability is, you know, the number one complaint that we get. You know, people want to be able to rely on our buses. And so, you know, putting in things like dedicated lanes and changing the way our network is structured is really an effort to increase that reliability and to respond to our number one customer complaint that we get.
That's great. So what's coming up? What's in the future? How does the process get to more implementation?
Sure. So we're currently, we put out a new network design in July that we're accepting public comment on. We're going to go to public hearings in around the January timeframe. So those are, you know, formal public hearings that really kind of lock in what the system is going to be. And then we're going to spend next year, the beginning of 2017, doing a lot of public education. You know, we've got to go out and talk to every rider and say, hey, this is changing. This is what your new route is going to be. And so that changeover will happen around mid-June of 2017. So we're about 9 months away, you know, give or take. And that changeover will happen overnight. You know, we'll flip a switch and we'll have our current bus system on one day. And the next day we'll have a totally brand new system. And so, you know, people need to be ready for it. Our drivers, you know, we're going through, you know, extensive training. We want to be sure our drivers are ready for it and ready for the questions that they get. And our riders have to be well educated and well prepared. And that's the challenge that we really have ahead of us, is getting out.
Right.
And it's doing, you know, shows like this that help us really get the word out and talk to our riders.
Now is the time for input, as you've said, from folks, comments about things. How can they do that?
Yeah, best way to provide us with some public feedback, public comment, is our website, www.baltimorelink.com. Mm-hmm. And so on baltimorelink.com, you know, people can submit comment, they can request a briefing for their community. We have a couple of reports up there that talk about how we've really incorporated public feedback into the development of the plan. We have a trip planner that we developed that does a comparative trip analysis. So you can just, like using, say, Google Maps, put in, you know, where you're starting, where you're going, and it does a comparison of the current system and the new system.
Right.
So we've tried to, you know, put a lot of tools out there. Everyone uses transit differently, and we want to put as many tools out there as we can for our riders.
Great. And so they can go to www.baltimorelink.com.
That's correct.
Spelled out all the way.
You got it.
Great, great. Well, we're about out of time. We're about out of time, Kevin. I really appreciate you coming and wish you luck with trying to make the system better for more of us Baltimoreans, because we need a system that works, and we need a system that helps.
That's right.
And that strengthens us, especially as we change this area, hopefully for the better. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. Best way to reach out to us is through our website, www.baltimorelink.com. And if you'd like to request a briefing or submit a comment, that's really the best place to do it. Comes right to our office.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Kevin Quinn, who's Director of Planning and Programming for the Maryland Transit Administration, for being our guest today. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thanks.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.